Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status. Big XL. Sam Pisa, a.k.a. PF. Where y'all go learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ, a.k.a. TM, fry some jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary sadness, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big and Gale, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
What up, world? It's your boy Vic XL, and this is the Ryan Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man. Let's get right into it. Gotta say one time for all the good people over at Big O Live. Y'all make sure y'all follow me on Big O Live at Ryan Dirty Radio, all right? Big O Live, brand new streaming company. Y'all please get aboard. All right. Gotta say one time for good people over at WRFG. 89.3 FM Atlanta. You can definitely check me out every Thursday night, Friday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. bringing you what's next in hip-hop and R&B. Definitely been rocking that spot for over 15 years. I love those guys over there. All right, now, real quick, got to let y'all know about that new. Got to say one time for the good people over at Live 365. We partnered up with Live 365 last year at the beginning of the pandemic. All right, now, Live 365 is the internet's oldest and longest running streaming company. But it's not where you go listen to your favorite album or your favorite singles. No, they are a server, and they allow small wattage radio stations, internet radio stations, AM radio stations to partner up with them, use their server, and become media-based internet radio stations. That's right, media-based internet tracking radio stations. Now, everybody out there, if you're a serious artist, then you definitely need to have your music played on media-based internet radio station shows. Now, I'm not saying don't let non-media-based radio stations play your music. No, all exposure is good exposure. But if you like to receive royalties, points, credits towards your play the same way as if you were on an FM radio station, then media-based stations are also the way to go. All right, now, let me tell you about our station. We are Ride 95, and we give you what's next in hip-hop and R&B. The way to access us is easy. All you got to do is go to live365.com, go to the search engine, type in RIDE, the number 9, the number 5, Ride 95. Click on our station logo, and voila, you have music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, check this out. If you're out there and you want to check us out via your mobile devices, also just as easy. Make sure you download the Live 365 app. Once you download the app, then go to the search engine, type in Ride95, R-I-D-E, the number 9, the number 5. Click on that station logo, and again, music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Bro, quick, man, got to shout some people out. Got to say one time for my dude, Rome. One time, my man Chris, definitely on the check-in, man. Definitely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, now you know what this show is all about. This is the platform we allow the voices of the voices to be heard. The people that are moving and shaking in the community. The people that are doing their thing, whether it's through arts, entertainment, music, philanthropism, entrepreneurship. This is the platform for just downright good-ass people. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, tonight is no different than any other night on the Ride and Dirty Show. So welcome to the Ride and Dirty platform, DJ D. Lou. What's going on, Ma?
What's going on?
Man, you know what?
Me?
First and foremost, I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you. Let me tell you, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for coming on the show, giving this platform opportunity to tell your story. I'm very humbled, and I'm very, very pleased to have you on the line.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Okay, now, the first thing I want to say is congratulations, and I'm going to get to this later, but I got to start off by saying congratulations to you for being the first ever female DJ to tour with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, I got to say, did you hear that southern drawl I had when I said the Harlem? I was saying Harlem Globetrotters.
Where are you from?
I am from Griffin, Georgia, which is 30 minutes south of Atlanta.
Okay, yeah, I know Griffin.
You know about Griffin?
Yeah, I do.
Wait, you come to Griffin? Because Griffin is known for two things. Our halfway house, because we have housed a lot of celebrities in our halfway house. And we're also known for our sock shop. You can come get the best socks in the world in Griffin, Georgia.
For real? See, I didn't know that. You just put me on to some stuff.
Now,
the last thing,
we're also known to be the county to put more players in the NFL, in NFL history when it comes to radius and square footage, all that blah, 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 blah stuff. But we put more players in the NFL in the history of the NFL than any other county ever.
Oh, wow. That's dope. I never knew that about Griffin. I just heard of it. I've lived in Atlanta. So, yeah.
Yeah, we make the news a lot, too, for a lot of nonsense. But, hey, man, Griffin, Georgia is the place. We're also home of rapper Jody Breeze.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so look, let's get into the life of D. Lou. The first thing I want you to let us know is where you're from and what started your musical journey and aspirations for the business.
Yes, I'm originally from Maryland, Prince George's County. And to be real, I mean, my parents started me really early. Like, first time I was on the stage was 3 years old. So I grew up in musical theater. Went to performing arts school. When I got to college, I interned for Sony, and that was, like, my first introduction to, like, the music industry business. Man, after that, came to Atlanta, worked at iHeart, was surrounded by DJs, was throwing events, and was just like, man, I don't really like how these DJs are blending. And it got to a point when I was like, man, I'm going to go buy my equipment myself and just learn how to blend so I could be the DJ at the events that the station was throwing. So I did that, and ever since, it's just been going.
Okay. All right. Now, as a DJ and someone who started to DJ because you really didn't like what you heard, if you had to say one song will get the people on the floor, what would that one song be?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, if you're talking about, it's like, I say Poison always does it. You got, anything, like, you could do Lil Jon stuff, that does it. Drake, of course. Man, that's hard. You can't do that to me. Hold on now.
You mean to tell me you can throw on Poison by Bill DeVoe and people still rush to the dance floor?
For sure. All ages, too.
Whoa, I did,
like,
not know that.
But that's how you know that's a timeless piece of art, you know, like anytime, even if I just do the beat. Because, you know, sometimes finesse. Bruno and Cardi, like, that has the same beat. So if I'm just looping that, I always get a response, no matter where I'm at. It's still hits. So, yeah. But I can't give you one. That's not fair.
You're right. And I'm sure it depends on the crowd, the age demographic, and that type of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The vibe,
now,
for sure.
I got to ask, from the moment you heard that horrible blend to you going to get your own equipment, how long did it take you to feel comfortable enough to DJ in front of people?
So I feel like my story is a little different because I talked this myself up like, yeah, I'm going to get it and I'm a DJ and I'm going to be the best up front. But when I got the controller, I didn't never open it. And then I know Guitar Center, I want to say it was 45 days I had to return the controller. So in my head, I'm like, well, if anything, if all else fails, I can return it within 45 days. Like, if I don't master 45 days, I'm going to bring it back. So on the 44th day, the controller was still in the box. So I was like, all right, I was just talking. Like, let me just take this back because clearly I'm not really as interested as I thought I would be. But I couldn't return it. So, like, I literally drove to Guitar Center, gave him the guy the box, but I was like, wait, I can't. Like, everything in my spirit was like, no, don't do it. So I took the controller back, went back home, and still didn't open the controller. But my homeboy, shout out to Moran, him and I went to an event, and he knew someone and introduced me. He was like, yeah, she DJs. And the dude was like, where? And I'm like, yeah. He was like, how long? I'm like, I've been DJing for 2 years. Never even took it out the box. And so he was like, okay, bet. I throw festivals. I'm going to put you on the lineup. Now, I mean, you know how this game could go. Like, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. So you don't really get attached until you know it's happening for sure. So I heard him, but it really went in one ear, out the other. And I, like, out of sight, out of mind type of thing. But, like, maybe 2-3 weeks later, he emails me with my time that I have DJ, and the festival was like a week from that time. So I had a week to learn how to DJ. So that's really what happened. Like, I was just forced to have to do it because I told him that I already knew how. And then after that, right, when I saw I could, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I'm saying after, like, I practiced, you know what I'm saying, for a week, and I had a job where I had to be there at 7 a.m., so I would get up around 5 and practice, and then after work, go home and practice, and, like, in between times when I couldn't be on my controller, I would be thinking about, like, man, what song goes good with this, like, and then I would practice it. So by the time the festival happened, I did it live, but I was practicing for a week just to make sure it was good. And the people responded, you know, I had everyone dancing, everyone said it was great, and, you know, the rest is history.
All right, now, do you remember what festival that was and what the attendance turnout was for you?
You know what it was called? What was it called? I don't remember. I don't remember what it was called. It was here. It was in Atlanta, though.
Okay. All right. All right.
And the,
now, what was that feeling like? Like, come on, that's a big, that's like a home run first bat. Like, what was that feeling like being in front of so many people rocking the crowd?
It felt good. It felt good afterwards because during it, I was so nervous. So I wasn't really enjoying it while I was doing it. I was more so like, oh, my gosh, I'm doing it. I got to make sure I stay focused and you know, don't make any mistakes, which I end up doing, but nobody could tell. But that was my focus. But afterwards, when I got off and I started to, you know, people started to come up to me and tell me how great of a job I did, that's when I was like, wow, like, I could do this, and I want to keep doing it. So I feel good.
Okay, look, let's fast forward a little bit about your jobs in the music industry. You mentioned Sony. What was working in the music industry like for you?
I learned a lot. I was able to see all the different departments within a major label that I didn't even know existed. And it was really cool because, like, every department works together, but they're all so different. So I was able to, like, really tap in to, like, what I'm good at and where I would do great work at like the departments that I would do great work at. But I learned a lot from the product and the different stages, you know, how idea starts off and then all the process it goes through, then different, you know, sales departments or marketing departments just to make this product successful, which I think is really cool because, I mean, if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't really understand any of, like, how to market or anything or what it really means to build a successful product or brand. So I learned a lot.
Okay. Now you also attended Rutgers. What was your major?
I dualed in poli-sci and communication. I thought I wanted to go to law school.
Okay, well, it's not too late. A DJ lawyer would be really, really
cool. Nah, I'd rather hire one.
Okay. Now, right now, in the music business, in the industry, the ladies are really dominating. And there are a lot of female DJs definitely doing their thing from coast to coast. First and foremost, how does it feel to be one of those ladies dominating? And how does it feel to see so many ladies doing their thing right now?
I love it. You know, I feel like we've always been doing our thing. We are what makes the world go round. Like, we really run the world. And I've always known that. I always felt that. So I'm just happy to be living in a time where I can witness it happening. You know, like, it's our time. We're not new to this. We've been doing this. It's just finally we getting the recognition that we deserve. Being one of the women in it and pioneering it is a great feeling. You know, more so I was able to pave a way for, you know, more women to come after me. That's really how I look at it. Like, it's about future. Like, what can I do to make sure someone don't have to go through all the hassle that I had to go through to make something happen, you know? So it feels great. I love it. It is definitely our time, and it's going to stay our time.
All right, now, that was going to actually be my next question, because we know the music business is definitely a male-dominated business. Have you experienced any challenges being a female, number one, being taken serious, number two, guys wanting to hire you just for a date? Like, have you experienced any forms of pitfalls or setbacks being a female?
Absolutely. It comes with the territory. Not just being, you know, a woman, period. I feel like all women definitely experiences that. You just learn how to navigate within it. And I always tell people, like, when you really know yourself, I don't think you should get in any business if you don't know yourself. But when you take the time to really know yourself and know what it is that you're trying to do and be intentional with everything, then you'll be able to maneuver that. Like, you'll be able to set those boundaries and be okay with walking away. Like, so, yeah, I mean, you're going to go through it as a woman, but set some boundaries, and if someone don't respect it, then that's not the opportunity or partnership that you need. It's not even meant, and it's not going to get you to the next level, because if it were, you wouldn't have to go through that. And that's how I look at it.
No doubt. Now, let's talk about the Harlem Globetrotters. First and foremost, how did this opportunity come to you to actually be to a DJ for the Harlem Globetrotters?
The work. I put in the work. That's how I know it came to me. Now, who presented it to me? A friend. Like, one of my friends told me about it. So I had to, of course, present all my stuff to them and all that, you know. But I say the work because things that I've done prior to this prepared me for it. I didn't even know. Like, I've done Atlanta Dream, which is the WNBA team in Atlanta, and then I've also done Georgia Tech. And the reason why I say, like, I've DJed a lot of other things, but I say those two in particular because – when it comes to sports, it's an entire different type of DJing. Like, I look at it as really a music director or like, music supervisor. Like, it's really different. It's really technical, and you have to pay attention. to a lot of things. And me doing those gigs, you know, before this was really prepping me for this. So that's why I initially said I put in the work. Because I know if I didn't have that training prior to, I probably wouldn't have, it wouldn't have aligned this way. So putting the work, took some steps. But also grateful for the relationships that I have as well.
All right, now what's it like being out on tour with such a legendary organization?
And it's a blessing. You know, I feel with endless gratitude every day because it's like, wow, like I'm surrounded by greatness. You know what I mean? Like, it's literally, look to my left, look to my right, everyone is great. So even on days where, like, you know, we're human, say one day I wake up and I'm like, man, I don't feel as great today. I get to the arena, or even if I get on the bus and I look around, it's like, man, I'm surrounded by greatness. Like, the energy is just infectious. So every day was I was filled with nothing but gratitude.
Okay. All right. Now, a couple of things I want to ask you before I let you go. And I want to talk about, number one, you definitely have experience when it comes to radio. I know you're part of a show on Dash Radio. And you also have this thing on your Instagram called Temple Tuesdays. Tell me a little bit about your radio show and Temple Tuesdays.
Man, so the radio show, Infinite Vibes, it's me and I have two co-hosts, which are also really close friends. And we started off as a DJ collective, and we were throwing, like, showcases around Atlanta. And one of the co-hosts and I, we worked at iHeart. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with DJ Scream, but him and I became like co-hosts on DJ Scream's show, which is on the beat. And we just took that. We got a weekend slot. We started doing weekends. And then the Dash opportunity came. So what we do is, you know, we interview artists, influencers, just anyone who's really doing their thing, and talk to them and just talk to them like normal, like really get to know them. And our whole goal with that was creating a platform where people feel really comfortable and they can really be themselves whenever they sit down with us. And Temple Tuesday, that came from me just needing therapy. It's a motivational, I would say, segment, series, vlog that I have on my IGTV. And the first one was just me talking to me. And I just posted it because I was like, man, maybe other people need to hear this. And so I did, and I got great feedback, so I just kept it going. So every Tuesday, now it's every other Tuesday, I drop and I just share whatever's on my spirit.
Okay. All right. Now, while you're out on the road with the Harlem Globetrotters, what has been the place that you enjoyed the most?
Like city?
Yes.
Pikeville, Kentucky. Have you heard of Pikeville,
Why?
Kentucky?
No, I have not.
Right? I never heard of it either before going there. It was one, a culture shock for me going there. It's in the mountains. It's beautiful, and it's really, really small. So when I say, just to put it in perspective, to lay there, I think closed around 6 o'clock, and the only bar restaurant closed at 10 o'clock. But it's very, very small, but it has character. And when we did the show, the people were just amazing. Like, it was packed out, the energy was like super amazing, and it was a vibe. But I never heard of Pikeville. I didn't even know what to expect, but it was really pretty, really small, a culture shock, and I realized, man, there are really some places in the United States that is so different than, like, city living. So, Pikeville is definitely a memorable place.
All right, I also noticed
Look it up.
I also noticed on the Spread Game Tour, you guys was visiting Mexico. What part of Mexico and what was that like?
So we weren't able, due to COVID, that ended up getting postponed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That and quite a few dates, quite a few places in Europe as well, due to the spike. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I visit Mexico once a year. My wife is actually from Mexico, and man, I really, really love Mexico. And the first time I went 5 years ago, it really made me really appreciate what we have here in the U.S., but it also made me realize that we take a lot of things for granted.
Yeah. What part of Mexico did you go to?
Actually, it's called Los Reyes Mexican, and I'm probably saying it wrong, but that's my wife's hometown, and we actually purchased a piece of property there. That way we can visit once a year with the family. Now, I speak no Spanish, but
okay.
You would never be able to tell when I'm in the town because they treat me like, you know, they understand everything I say because it's just a lot of love and a lot of family values, and I just really, really appreciate it. And I always encourage people, you know, to visit other places other than where they're from.
Yeah, I actually been – at the top of the year, I was in Cabo.
Okay.
Yeah,
what was that
I loved
like?
It was amazing. It was – so beautiful, you know, the food, oh my gosh, amazing. Everything about it was amazing. So,
all right, now, you mentioned on Temple Tuesdays that was just something therapeutic for you. Now, I have a question. Therapy. How important do you think therapy is for today's generation?
Oh, man, I think it's very important. Therapy and I look at it as like you got to find therapy that works for you. So therapy may not be the traditional you going and you sitting with someone and you talking to someone. Like you got to find your own therapy, like healthy therapy. But I think it's important. I think everyone should have an outlet, especially today, because I don't know, with the whole social media, you know, the effects that it has on everyone, like depression is crazy. Like how many people are depressed these days is just like crazy high. So yeah, therapy is important. You just got to find therapy that works for you.
Okay. I definitely, like for me, I've been doing radio for over 15 years and this microphone is so therapeutic for me, giving me the opportunity to talk to people, listen to them listen to me. And I honestly say radio, podcasting saved my life.
That's amazing. And that's
all right
that
now,
you realize that.
I love hearing people's stories. And, you know, a lot of times I find I have so much in common with the older generation, the younger generation, and I mean, it's just been amazing for me. And like I say, this is my form of therapy, just talking to people, hearing their life, sharing, and building.
I love it.
All right, so look, D. Lou, two more questions. Question number one, the name D. Lou, what's the origin of that name?
It's my first and last name combined.
All right, that was very, very simple. And my last question,
yeah.
What's next? What's next for you?
Man, books, I'm currently working on an app. Well, it's in development. And doing more production.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, before I let you go, let the people know how to find you and keep up with you, whether it's social media, website, Globetrotters, all the above.
Yes, yes, at DEELEWW. You can Google DEELEWW. My website is DLU.com. Yeah, just type in DEELEWW and I should come up.
All right. Again, thank you for coming on the show. It's been an honor. It's been a blessing. And again, congratulations on being the first ever Harlem Globetrotters.
Thank you so much.
All right, you have a nice evening.
All right, you too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that was DJ D. Lou, first ever female DJ for the Harlem Globetrotters, all right? So if the Harlem Globetrotters are in your town or in your area, y'all make sure y'all check them out if y'all can see DJ D Blue. All right, it's your boy Big XL. This is the Ryan Dirty Show where we bridge the gap between hip hop and everyday life, man. I see you guys later. Peace. Y'all be blessed. Just be a good person. Stay black. Keep it gangster. Yeah.